Let's open our Bibles to the book that has the most chapters of any book in the Bible. Let's go to the book of Psalms and let's go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. How many know the longest chapter in the Bible? Psalm what? 119. You don't want to have to read that one before you fall off to sleep at night. You go through to the morning. The name of this message is An Old Doctor's Spiritual Prescription. An Old Doctor's Spiritual Prescription. Let's read in Psalm 37 just three verses, because that's the prescription. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Notice the famous verses that are in this psalm. Look at verse 4. That's a famous verse. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you what? Then the next one, commit your way to the Lord, right? And trust in Him, He will do this. Look at verse 7. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Now look at verse 25 so I can show you why I said an old doctor's spiritual prescription. Verse 25. I was young and now I am what? Look up here, please. This is Dr. David, the psalmist, the king, but also the spiritual doctor, at the end of his life, giving us a spiritual prescription. You know what's so wonderful about the Bible is the Bible has doctors in it, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Doctors of the soul, doctors of the spirit, doctors of the heart, and also things to help your body and your mind. And you can get to them all the time. All you have to do is open your Bible and you can get some very good spiritual prescriptions for what's ailing you. I hope you all try to read the Bible every day. Do you? Oh, always do that. Bible every day keeps the devil away, right? Or at least gives us strength to fight him. Now, some doctors you can't get to see. You ever try to get a doctor? I had some oral surgery some weeks ago, and I had to go to another different kind of doctor. That was from my annual checkup. They wanted me to undergo some more tests. So I called the doctor's office that my doctor gave me for this test or exam of some kind. And it was early May. And they said, well, the first date we can give you is June 28th. I went, June 28th? They say that's a sign that the doctor's good if you can't get to see him right away, right? You heard about those guys arguing about who had the best doctor, and one guy said, you know, my doctor, you have to wait at least 3 months before you can see him. And the other guy said, that's nothing, my doctor's better. You can't see him for 9 months. The third guy said, no, my doctor's the best. No one's ever seen him. You can't even get to him. There's no way to get to him. That's how good he is. He never sees anybody. Well, Dr. David is available for us. And he has a prescription for what ails us. We want to listen now to him because he's an old man. He's full of wisdom. He's experienced. He's got godly counsel. He's lived. He's fought battles. He knows what it is to fail. He knows what it is to get up. He's learned many things. He's made mistakes. And now he's sharing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, making up scripture, the secret of a happy and a godly, blessed life. You want to know the secret of a happy, blessed, godly life? I'm going to give it to you this morning in its shortest form. This is especially good for us because of the mention of worry and fretting and anxiety ever since 9/11. And now with all these terror threats, shutting down the Brooklyn Bridge, India and Pakistan have 1 million soldiers facing each other up near the border of Kashmir. northern part of India, and Pakistan to show its machismo, just exploded a test missile. It has a nuclear weapon. India, it has nuclear weapons. India has nuclear weapons. They both seem to hate each other for decades. Hindus, Muslims. Gandhi, the great pacifist and leader, he was killed because of that hatred and dialogue, lack of dialogue between Hindus and Muslims over there. And now our leaders in government are saying, listen, there's no way to stop terrorist threats. And there's no way to stop every terrorist attempt. Israel has tremendous security, maybe the best for a country its size probably in the world. But who can stop? Look at all the pain Israel's going through. And now they're talking about the fact that nuclear devices probably are going to get one day in the hands of people bent on evil. And now they're talking about the possibility of suicide bombers in our country blowing themselves up. What are you going to do when you read all that stuff? People are getting mad. I heard on the radio commentators saying, what's with this? Why can't our leaders, what do you mean we can't do anything about it? Why can't our leaders stop all of this? But how can you stop people from blowing themselves up? How can you know every secret conversation going on? We live in a world filled with tension. In my lifetime, there's never been a time like this, probably in your lifetime. Because it's not even like with Pearl Harbor and World War II or the Korean War or the Vietnam War. That was the Gulf War. That was over there. Those are the bad guys. They're the good guys. Here's who's fighting. But not now. You don't know what's going on. So people's hearts are failing them because of fear. There's a lot of worry. People are seeing psychiatrists at an all-time rate, and people are also taking medication for their nerves at an all-time rate. And even though there's a lot of economic factors saying that the country's turning around and getting good, a lot of people are leery in the market. What's really going to happen? New York City is operating under a huge deficit. Mayor Bloomberg is going to have to cut the budget. We don't know what's going to happen. And David, good Dr. David, tells us something. He tells us, do not fret because of evil men. Don't worry and don't show annoyance. That word in the Hebrew actually means don't inwardly burn with vexation because of the successful evil plots of evil men, their power, their threats, their audacity, their seeming invulnerability. Don't worry, God says. Don't worry, David says. I've been young and I've been old and I've learned a lot of things. Now listen, he's telling us, don't worry, don't fret. Psalm 37:7 says, don't fret when men, same psalm, don't fret when men succeed in their ways and when they carry out wicked schemes. I mean, how in the world can you not worry? How can you not fret? Here are men saying evil things, audacious things, bold things, horrible things. How can you not worry? And yet David says, don't worry. The first secret of a happy life is you'll never be happy in God if you're worrying. Did you know that worry is a terrible thing? It's bad for you emotionally. It's bad for you physically. You know how much some of us would be feeling better if we just stopped worrying? You can work out all day and pump iron and take vitamins, but if you live with worry, your body's going to break down. And God here gives us a command. The same God who said, don't kill and don't commit adultery and don't do that, it's harmful, it's wrong. God says here, don't fret, don't worry. You remember what the New Testament says in this context? Philippians 4:6, be anxious for what? For nothing. Don't worry about one single thing. Don't fret because of, notice, evil men. I hear people everywhere. In dental offices, I hear walking, talking with folks in my neighborhood, listening to call-in shows on the radio. Everybody is getting worked up and frustrated and vexation. Their hearts are burning them because of, what are we going to do? What can we do? Somebody do something. How can these people get away with this? And the corporation, white-collar crime, Enron, Merrill Lynch just settled something for $100 million. So where are you going to find an honest man? And if they're all crooked, people are saying, what am I going to do? And Dr. David says, listen, I've been around a long time. Let me tell you something. Don't worry and fret because of evil men. And on top of that, don't be envious of those who do wrong. If you're not worrying, sometimes you begin to get envious because of their wealth, their possessions, their easy life, their proud display, their vanity, their ability to get their way, to always be on top. You ever notice that? You're serving God, you're doing the best you can, and people are cursing God every day and are getting ahead. I didn't get an amen, but that's worth an amen. That's the truth. Come on, how many have ever been looked at that and said, what's up with this? Here we're serving God, here we're reading our Bibles, trusting in Jesus and everything, and people, look at what he has. Look at that new car he has. My car's old and it's breaking down, and this guy curses God, he's got a new car. Doesn't seem fair. And if you're not careful, you begin to get envious. How about all these people who curse God every day, and they're not only millionaires, they're billionaires. That's why the whole prosperity theology is so silly. I mean, if money was a sign that God was pleased with you, then how come all these people who curse God have all the money? So the psalmist is saying to us, young people, don't worry. I don't care how bad things look, never worry. When you're worrying, you're out of God's will. And don't be envious of people who are doing evil, even though they seem to be doing so well along with their evil. Don't be jealous of people who aren't serving God. Well, how in the world, may I ask you, everybody this morning, how can you not worry? Now, the Bible's very strong about this. Don't worry, don't be envious, even though it's a natural tendency. Do you bite your nails? You shouldn't be. Do you lay awake at night losing sleep because you're worried about something that's out of your control anyway? I got news from you from the old song. He's got the whole world in his hand. How many are happy God's got the whole world in his hand? We don't understand everything the way we see it now. But God says, don't worry and don't fret and don't be anxious and don't inwardly burn. It's a very interesting word. It actually means to burn inside. Have you ever felt that feeling coming on because you get so frustrated with people? Somebody cursing a name that is precious to you and there's no lightning striking them? Some of us, you know, we wish a lightning maybe would come down, but no. God says, no, you don't worry, and you're not envious. But how? How can we avoid it? Well, the first thing Dr. David says, it's a two-point cure. Listen, the first one is, David says, stop and consider their end. Look down the road and see how these people will end up. Listen, for like the grass, they will soon wither, and like green plants, they will soon die away. That word means wither or fade. David is saying, listen. Listen to me. I've been around. I've walked with God. I've made my own mistakes. Don't worry about evil men and don't be jealous of them. But stop looking at just today and look down the road and look at how horrible their end is going to be. People who look like they're doing good today, some of them are in for a terrible awakening in the days to come. The Bible says in this same chapter, they're here today, they're gone tomorrow. But he that does the will of God shall abide, what? Forever and ever. Verse 9, evil men will be cut off. Verse 10, a little while and they will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. Listen to this verse, verse 13. The Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. In other words, today, let's not just live and think that today is everything and material things are everything, because then you're going to worry and you're going to fret and you're going to be anxious and you're going to start to be tempted to be jealous. But David says, now would you please stop and look down the road? Today is not everything. There's an eternity waiting, and in eternity they are losers if they're evil. But those that do the will of God will live forever and ever and ever and ever. Come on, let's put our hands together and thank God that we have an eternal blessing. So the psalmist is very practical. He says, consider their end. You know, they're here today and gone tomorrow. Some of those, you know, every year shrubs come up. They look so beautiful. The grass comes up. What beautiful grass. Just stay there for a while. It'll be gone. It's mowed down. Withers. No more grass. And the psalmist says, that's the way the wicked are, those the ungodly who curse God, turn their back on God, do evil things, practice wickedness. They're going to be cut off. And it says that even when they're making their threats, God laughs at them because he knows their day is coming. Their day is coming. See, everyone has a day. We who are trusting in Jesus Christ, how many know we have a day coming when we're going to be with the Lord? But the wicked, they have a day coming too. So David says, don't just look at time. Look down the road. Because even though God pauses and waits in his wisdom, which we don't understand, he takes care of business in the end. He's taking care of everybody. If you're here today and you're trusting and holding on to God and you don't know what to do, hold on. Keep holding on because God's going to come. He's going to reward you. Going to bless you. So cure number one for worry in the days that we live is to consider the end of things, not just the moment. See, sin is like that, brothers and sisters. Sin just says this: what do you feel like doing now? Do it. Say it. Sleep with her. Lie. Let it all out and let go of that anger. But God says no. It's not about just today. You got to look down the road. You got to invest for eternity. You got to keep your mind on the prize, the high calling that we have in Jesus Christ. Now, cure number two is even better than cure number one. And it says this: trust in the Lord and do good. Everybody here, starting with the kids behind me and all the way to the top of this balcony, everybody in this building, you're either going to trust God or you're going to worry. Those are the only two options you have. If you're not trusting in God and relying on him, your heart will tend toward worry and anxiety. Even if you get some money and even if you get a nice possession, you're worried that you'll lose it. You're worried that you'll die. You're worried that it could be stolen. You know, the Bible talks about people who amass wealth and they don't even know who will spend it after they're gone. Imagine some people, they work themselves to the bone, are tighter than a crab, won't share with anybody, and then when they die, they don't take a cent with them. They leave everything behind. But we don't live like that. Our reward is waiting for us. Our reward is in heaven waiting for us. So the psalmist says this: trust in the Lord and do good. Now, either we're going to be men and women of faith, or we're going to start to worry. Now, let's just face that. It's faith or worry. It's faith or worry. Say that with me. It's faith or worry. Say it again. It's faith or worry. Whether you're with the sound company, or working the monitors, or you're an usher, or you're visiting here for the first time, this is the way life is. Take it from God. You're either going to grow in trust and faith, or you're going to grow in worry. And you know, all the Christians who are walking around like a nervous wreck. Christians who have all these promises, all these things. Don't fret about anything. Don't fret because of evildoers. Be anxious for nothing. And they're walking around frustrated because they're not trusting in God. So the thing, first, this antidote is this: trust in the Lord. Now, don't have faith in faith. Have faith in God. There's a cult going around now that you hear on the afternoon talk shows kind of foolish philosophy of this world, which is just believe. Well, believe in what? Doesn't matter. Just believe. How many have ever heard that? People say, you got to have faith. Well, faith in what? No, don't be authoritative. Don't give me those absolute truths. Don't mention God. Just believe. You got to believe. You know, that's the logo for the Mets. It used to be for the New York Met baseball team. You got to believe. Believe in what? No, you just got to believe. Listen, you got to believe, but you got to believe in God. How many are with me? Say amen. You got to believe, listen, in His promise, His power, His love, His mercy, His goodness. While you were sleeping last night, He was watching over you. He was watching over you. You know the only reason you're here today? If it wasn't for God, some of us would not even be here today. Well, none of us would be here in church. Some of us wouldn't even be alive. See, these guys working with the sound and the people who have done all this work in this building, the only thing keeping them alive is God's watching over them every day for one reason or another. Either He's trying to get to their hearts or He's in their hearts now watching over us as His children. Trust in the Lord, in His power, in His promises. Read the Bible, and when God makes a promise, hold on to it and remember, that's my Father talking to me. This promise is for me. God, I claim this promise. I believe this is for me, Lord. I'm trusting in You. But you got to remember that as you trust, you have to trust, and here's the hard part of faith. You have to wait. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. There's a verse in the latter part of this psalm that says, wait for the Lord and keep His way. You know what the hard part of faith is and avoiding worry? It's not only to believe, it's to wait for God's timing. God has a timing for everything. And if you try to rush Him, you'll start to worry. You got to only trust God. You got to say, God, I know You're going to take care of this. And You're going to do it in Your time. I'm not only trusting You to do it, You're going to do it at the perfect moment. And I'm going to wait. Isn't that the hardest part of faith? How many have trouble waiting? Come on, wave your hand if you're like me. Oh, to go in a store and see a long line, it's like, oh, do I have to do this? That's why sale days are good in stores. But then when you see the lines, you say, oh, I'll buy at regular price because who can go through those lines? So the Bible says that we not only have to have faith, we have to wait. Yeah, but what's going to happen to those evil men? Wait. Yeah, but that guy, he's just getting over. Wait. There's a day coming. You not only got to trust, you have to wait. Some of us get worked up. I'm going to trust God. And then after 2 days, it's like, what, God? You didn't do it already? What's wrong, God? How many want today to start trusting and waiting like never before? God, I'm not going to worry. I'm going to trust. And in my trust, I'm going to wait for You. Because when you wait for the Lord, you're never disappointed. He will come through. If you have a wayward son and a wayward daughter and you've committed them to the Lord, you not only have to trust. Sometimes when you start to pray and trust, they get worse before they get better. But if you just wait, wait for the Lord, wait for the Lord. Like people wait on a station for a train. Someone says, why are you waiting here? Because it's coming in. I got the schedule. It's coming. How do you know? No, listen, this train's coming in. And with God, we're even more sure. Not just to trust, but to trust and to wait. But while we're waiting, you know, another important thing to avoid this worry business is trust and wait. And young people, do good. Notice, trust in the Lord and do good. That's the tandem. Trust in the Lord and do good. Just, if you really trust, you got to be doing good at the same time. You know, one of the best ways out of worry and depression is to do something good for somebody. Listen to me. Listen to Dr. Cimbala. I told you about Dr. David. Now listen to my prescription. One of the best ways that I have found to get out of a funk and to get out of a depression and to get out of, you know, thoughts of depression or worry is to not just trust in the Lord, but to do good. To keep His way, not to give up, because this is the terrible thing about fretting. Listen to it. The Bible says, don't fret, it only leads to evil. That's in this psalm. Fret not, it only leads to evil. Do you know how sin gets us entangled sometimes? Is because it starts with worrying. If you're worried, you start to talk wrong words, wrong sentences. When you're agitated inside, there's the temptation to, what's the sense of living for God? Ah, everybody's just getting over and there's no justice in the world. I'm going to let it all hang out and do what I've been tempted to do. No, listen, This is why worry is such a horrible thing, and I want to keep you from it today, and I want God to keep me from it. It says, don't worry, it only leads to evil. Worry is like opening the door to Satan. Worry is like opening the door to new temptations. Don't worry, it only leads to evil. Trust in the Lord, wait for His timing, and do good while you're waiting. Don't give in to the devil who says to us, you've been waiting and you've been trusting. What do you have to show for it? Come on, what do you have to show for it? Stop doing good. Stop serving God. Stop trying to help others. Stop living for Christ. It's not getting you anywhere. Look at these people who don't live like you. They're getting ahead. That's a lie from the devil. Trust in the Lord, do good, and keep waiting. But while you're waiting, be doing good. Oh, call somebody and pray for them. Say a kind word to somebody. Pray, intercede for some need that you know. Open up the Bible. Love somebody. Trust in the Lord. Wait for Him and do good. And what happens? And you will possess the land. What? The promised land. When you say land in the Old Testament, it means the promised land. What does that mean? God's saying this to us today. Don't worry, because it only leads to evil. Don't fret. You'll just stir yourself up into a bigger mess. And that's true. Physically, mentally, and emotionally, and spiritually. It's bad worry. No, trust in the Lord. Go over here and trust in the Lord and do good and wait for Him. And while you're waiting, be doing good. And when you do that, God will give you the desires of your heart. He will let you possess His promises. The hard part is waiting for it. The hard part is holding on to God and not giving in to worry. And we've all been through that battle. We're worried about one thing or another, and Satan uses that pressure to try to squeeze us into his mold, to get us to break out away from God. But here Dr. David tells us, wait for the Lord. Keep His way. Do good while you wait God's timing. God's going to settle everything. Brothers and sisters, one thing I can tell you sure today. God's going to settle everything in the end. How many know that without a shadow of a doubt? Say amen. God is going to settle everything. All right, let me close. Remember now, don't fret. It leads only to evil. Verse 8. In other words, there's a danger that worry poses to our own spiritual welfare. I've learned that. When I worry, it opens me up to some very nasty things. Have any of you ever found the same thing? You don't have to say amen out loud, but how many have found that when you worry, it's like it's a hunting ground for Satan? Well, you might say to me, Pastor Cymbala, listen, I like what you're saying, but I have so little strength, and I have so little of this world's goods, and I feel so impotent. And here these other people have so much. Listen to verse 16. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. Listen, better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. It's better to have a little and have God in your heart than to have all the money and have no peace and no joy and have a day coming. Imagine, that's why you're not allowed to talk. It's not politically correct to talk about dying with people. You don't bring up death. But to a Christian, you can talk about death because that means we're going home. But to an unbeliever, they don't talk about dying. Why? Because the only thing they have is right here on earth. But God tells us it's better to have a little and have His peace and His joy. You know, when you're in love with Jesus and you're serving Jesus, you don't need much. Just a roof over your head, a little roti, rice and beans, a little something to eat, right? Come on, how many have ever had very little but just been full of the joy of the Lord, right? Come on, lift up your hand with me, right? We know what that feeling is, to have very little but to say, all right, I don't have a lot, but I have Jesus. I have the Lord. I have peace. I'll tell you what. I'm very happy to be here today, and I'm very happy for you that God has helped us get to this next stage, and I hope the building you enjoy, and I hope you're happy with it. It's your church. But you know what? I'm no happier today than I was when I was on Atlantic Avenue with my wife and I, with 15, 18 people, with a rundown little building. I'll be very straight with you. It's because, you know, whether you have a little or a lot, the building is small, the building is big, you get used to whatever you have. But the thing that gives you peace is Jesus in your heart. Rejoice. Let's put our hands together and thank God that we can rejoice in Him. You know, as Carol plays, Jonathan plays, Carol, are you down there somewhere? She's over there somewhere. Listen, can I tell you about the best meal we ever, one of the best meals we ever ate in our life? Now, someone took me to the formerly Windows on the World at the World Trade Center years ago, took me to eat one day and tipped the maitre d' $20 so that we could sit. It was a high roller type of guy. He tipped him $20 so Carol and I could sit with he and his wife on the window. But that building used to be so high that we were in a cloud. We paid $20 to see nothing. We were right in the middle of a cloud, right? And they had a chocolate dessert there. It was called Death by Chocolate. That was the name of the dessert. And this was years ago. I think it cost, the piece of the cake cost like, this was years ago. This was in the 70s. Late 70s? Yeah. I think the piece of cake cost $12. Imagine now, with the price, the way things are going. So, the meal was nice. Windows on the World, you know, $12 piece of chocolate. It was so sweet. It's like, and we all got so hyper. We didn't know where to go. We were all just like, they just started talking funny and everything, getting all souped up from sugar. It was like an upper for $12 is what we actually got. So, we were in the Dominican Republic and preaching in the 70s. And the people we were with who were taking us from town to town took us to a little shack of a house where a pastor was in a town. The electricity running into his house, it was run off the main line. There were wires coming off this main line that was out in the street. And there was only a little table, a dirt floor. This little table, a couple broken down little chairs. And they were so happy that we were visiting and they wanted us to stay for dinner. He went out and he caught some fish in a lake or a river. And that was the dinner. I found out he caught them that day. And they were so nervous and they were so self-conscious a little bit because of their lack of wealth, money. And she took one potato. All she had was one potato. And she cut that potato, I think, six ways. Because there were six of us at the table. And that was the meal. A sixth of a potato. And this fish that he had caught. And in this house that had very little, he had a blender. I'll never forget that. The wife had a blender. And she made some papaya with a little milk and made a drink. And we said grace and ate one sixth of a potato and a little piece of fish. And it was the best meal we ever had because Jesus was there. Listen, it was better than the Windows on the World, because when you have peace, better to have little and have Jesus than have everything and be a nervous wreck. I've eaten in some very wealthy restaurants, rich, expensive restaurants that people have taken me to. I'm not impressed at all. It's not what you put in your mouth that makes you happy. It's what's in your soul that makes you happy. Now listen, you might say, Pastor Cimbala, I know, but I want to trust the Lord, and I know you're right. I know what you're preaching is right, but I stumble. and I fall, and sometimes I give in and I get envious and I blow up and I start to worry and I start to fret about one thing or another, and I feel so weak. But listen to this, my last verse, same chapter, same psalm, verse 23, verse 24. If the Lord delights in a man or a woman's way, he will make their steps firm. Though that man stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord will uphold him with his own hand. You know what one translation has it? The man may stumble, but he won't fall headlong. Oh, listen. God is a God who loves us so much and is so kind that even when we trip and go, oh, I fell, instead of saying, what's wrong with you? Didn't I tell you not to worry? What are you fretting for? Look, it only leads to evil. Look, you got tripped up. How many are happy we don't have a God like that? But we have a God who says, oh, you tripped. Come on. Come on. Get up. Come on. Walk with me. Come on. I'm going to teach you. You might have tripped, but listen, you didn't fall down completely, because God says, I'm going to lift you up and I'm going to hold you. How many know when the Lord lifts you up and holds you, you're going to be held by God? One more time. Let's put our hands together and affirm God's word. So, trust in the Lord and do good. Wait for him. And he will work. He will work. His time. But at the end of the day, you'll say, the Lord does all things well. Pastor Simple, do you understand everything happening in the world today? I don't have a clue. But I know one thing. God does everything perfectly. And when we get to heaven, we're going to understand why he let that go on and why that happened. And then for billions and billions and billions of years, we're going to enjoy his presence and the blessing of the Lord. And you know how expensive it is up in heaven, how beautiful it is? The streets are made of gold. Gold is so cheap that just let the people walk on it. It's not worth anything. Let them just walk on it. Because the real joy is coming from God's presence. Even if you've never done it before, would you lift up your hands with me right now? Let's just pray for a second. Come on. God, we thank you today for your word. We're not going to worry, Lord. Everything's going crazy in the newspapers around us, but we're not going to worry. We're going to trust in the Lord and do good, and we're going to wait for you, Lord. We're going to wait. We don't know exactly what you're cooking up and working out, but we're going to wait for you. Blessed is the man or woman who trusts in the Lord. They'll never be ashamed. They'll never be disappointed. Help my brothers and sisters to trust and not worry. Don't let them be envious. Let them put their faith in you. You may put your hands down. Close your eyes with me, please. Maybe there's some folks sitting here today who would say, Pastor Simbel, how in the world would you know what I've been going through? I've been in a dither, been just all frustrated inside, can't make head nor tail of my life, don't know why what's going down is going down, confused. But Pastor Simbel, of God's word hit me today. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to do good. I'm going to wait for him. And as I do that, God's going to work on my behalf. But today I want to draw a line in the sand and tell God, God, I'm not going to run around and get worried anymore. I'm not going to be fretting. I'm not going to be getting agitated inside. It's for nothing. It only leads to evil. No, I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to do good. God's going to keep me. And even if I slip, he'll pick me up again. Blessed be his name forever. The minister talking to you today, he slipped a lot of times, but the Lord keeps picking him up. Blessed be his name. If you're here today and say, Pastor Simbel, as you close this first service at 17 Smith Street, your new church, our new church, pray for me, because today I'm starting a new life of trust. I'm going to feed on God's faithfulness. I'm going to let him shepherd me, take care of me. I'm going to let his word get in me now. I'm going to stop living the way I'm living, because this is not, it's going to only lead to evil. My fretting, my worry, my anxiety. I'm not going to be a victim. I'm not going to make myself a victim like, oh, nobody understands. No, I'm going to take control of this situation under God and say, I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to worry anymore. I'm going to rejoice in God. I'm going to delight myself in him. If you're here today and would like me to pray for you in closing, Would you just stand up wherever you are? I haven't done this here before, but I want to just want you to respond to the Holy Spirit. I don't care if you're a Christian 20 years or 20 days. You stand up and say, Pastor Cymbala, wherever you might be, Pastor Cymbala, pray for me. I'm going to start trusting God by His help today. I'm going to trust Him. These burdens that I've been carrying, I'm going to cast them upon the Lord. Come on, if you're carrying burdens that are weighing you down, just stand up where you are and say, I'm giving them to the Lord today. I'm walking out of this building different than the way I came in. You just stand wherever you are. People in the balcony, don't move. You just keep standing, all of you. I appreciate that. Everybody here downstairs, come quickly out of your seat. Everyone in the lower auditorium, come quickly and just stand here.